Welcome to the Power Trends podcast, produced by the New York Independent System Operator, where we discuss energy planning, public policy, and other issues affecting New York's power grid.
Hello, and welcome to the Power Trends podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Linehan, Vice President of Corporate Communications and External Affairs at the New York ISO. And I'm pleased to announce that Power Trends podcast did win a PR Daily Reagan Award for content marketing. And the credit really goes to the corporate communications team back at the New York ISO. It's Megan Shanstra, Karen Lane, Dana Klein, and Alan Wexler. They're the faces and the voices you don't see behind this podcast that make it possible. And certainly contributed to the success of the podcast and are responsible for the award-winning content. I want to thank them. I also am happy to report that we have a slightly different format to this particular podcast. We have two guests, and this is the first time we've had two guests on our podcast. Today, we're welcoming Mike DeSocio and Zach Smith from the New York ISO, who are both instrumental in a monumental and very important recent submittal to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. It's a proposal for new market rules designed to remove a significant barrier to renewable development in New York State. Very recently, it's gained significant press attention, and we're going to step through what that proposal is, why it is so important. A lot of effort went into the stakeholder process, which we've talked about on this podcast before, and certainly in the design of the proposal. And Mike and Zach, who we're lucky enough to have with us today, did much of the heavy lifting, so to speak, on our proposal to the FERC on buyer-side mitigation. So we'll start with you, Mike. If you can, before we dig into the subject and the details, if you can give folks a little bit of a history of your background and what you do at the NYSO.
Certainly. First of all, congratulations to the team on the award. That's awesome news.
Thank you.
And I am an electrical engineer by trade. That's what I studied in school and have been working at the ISO for just under 22 years now. I lead the market design group. We're focused on working with stakeholders to evolve New York's wholesale energy market rules, including the capacity market, as well as the team also does a lot of R&D, thinking about the needs of the software to support the emerging technologies that are coming our way. So thinking about new trends like distributed energy resources and hybrid resources, that team is thinking about ways to integrate those resources into the wholesale markets, but on a little bit further time frame.
And Mike, I didn't realize this, but you're maybe one of those rare engineers we have at the NYSO that holds a degree both from RPI and Clarkson. I don't know how you bridge that divide, because there's big competition within our workforce between graduates of both those institutions. So learning something new every day, and that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's funny, Kevin. I think that might be a little bit of the reason why they asked me to help bring differences together. I do a lot of that down in the working groups as well. Certainly, RPI and Clarkson are rivalries on the ice, but both universities provide a really great engineering education, and I'm fortunate enough to have attended both.
Zach, over to you for a second, if you can just give us a quick snapshot of your background and what you do at the ISO.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin, and thanks for having me, and congratulations to the whole team. That's great for that award you guys won. So I'm the manager of the capacity market design team. My role is really responsible, as Mike was talking about, as evolving the market design specifically for the capacity market and making sure that we have the rules and market design to help us meet the grid needs of the future. And I've been with the ISO for just under 13 years.
And if I recall right, a Union College graduate, right? So you avoid that controversy?
Undergrad and grad at Union. The grad is now, the Union Graduate College is actually now part of Clarkson. So I'm kind of a mixed blood there as well.
That's right. Okay. Good detail to know. All right. So let's dive in, guys. Comprehensive mitigation reform, or buyer side mitigation, is something that we've been in one way or another contemplating now for a few years. If we can start at the beginning, try and explain what it is, why it's so important that we initiated this effort to change it. So wherever you want to begin, let's try and explain for folks that might not be completely familiar why it is so important.
So really what we're focused on is making sure resources that are participating in the wholesale competitive markets are treated fairly, and they can compete on this level playing field with each other, and that the wholesale market continues to support the needed resources to keep the lights on.
So initially, these rules were set up so that one generator didn't have an advantage over another per se, and that could sway the market and then prices and disadvantage consumers in the end. I think I have this part right, but nowadays we are seeing some subsidized resources because we have state policies and mandates and laws in place to develop renewables to help address climate change. So there's that tension, right? And the rule becomes something that might be outdated and get in the way of the development of those renewables. So we're trying to address those disparities between the state policy and then how the markets work. Is that fair to say?
That's exactly right, Kevin. There are many new policies out there, and the state's recent passage of the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act is one of the main drivers of investment right now into clean resources in New York. And oftentimes that comes with out-of-market payments in the form of a subsidy. Now, not all subsidies are bad, and certainly in this case, what we're trying to do is make sure that the wholesale market doesn't get in the way of the transition envisioned by New York State and New York State lawmakers. Part of the change with buyer-side mitigation is really focused on making sure that these new clean resources are allowed into the competitive wholesale market. And there is no potential for them to get caught up in these buyer-side mitigation rules, which would otherwise lead to circumstances where maybe they wouldn't be able to compete with other wholesale generators for capacity market revenue. So at the end of the day, what's changed is the landscape and the rate of change of new resources entering the market. And that really drove the ISO to take a step back and really think hard about the role of buyer-side mitigation and how it should evolve.
Now you're addressing some of those reliability issues that we've talked about before, how to balance that responsibility of keeping the lights on and making sure the capacity market functions well with bringing in greater amounts of intermittent resources and renewables. So can you dig in for us a little bit and explain how the proposal, that part of the package achieves that balance, and maybe specifically how it will help support the goals of the CLCPA with now 6,000 megawatts of battery development and 9,000 megawatts of offshore wind?
Yeah, certainly, Kevin. So the proposal is multifaceted. And from a buyer-side mitigation perspective, the change in play that was approved by the ISO and its stakeholders is one that excludes resources that satisfy the CLCPA from buyer-side mitigation. And by doing so, provides a clear path forward for these resources to participate in the wholesale market and be included in the benefits of capacity market revenues and making sure they're available to New Yorkers in the most effective and efficient way possible. The other aspect of the proposal has to do with how we value these new resources. In fact, how we value all resources and their contribution to reliability. Now, the focus of reliability in this context for the capacity market is what is known as resource adequacy. And what we're talking about here is just making sure we have adequate supply to keep the lights on during extreme conditions, whether that be extreme summer heat waves or like the conditions we're facing right now with cold weather. Regardless of those conditions, making sure we have adequate supply to meet those conditions. And so when we think about that, what we need to do is make sure we have a way to value the contribution each resource or each technology class has towards meeting or contributing to that reliability. Now, we refer to this as capacity accreditation. And part of the need to make sure that that's right is the resource mix, the makeup of the grid, both the generators and other resources like batteries that are starting to make up the grid, they're changing rapidly. You've got existing generators that are looking to retire, and you've got new resources like solar and offshore wind and batteries that are being added in great quantities very rapidly. And so the capacity accreditation rules are focused on making sure it's really clear to everyone what the reliability value is for adding these resources to the grid and updating that on an annual basis so that we keep pace with the amount of change that is envisioned with the CLCPA.
Zach, a question for you. You know, Mike is given us an idea of what we talk about when we talk about accreditation, but let's get a little more specific. How, because Mike's setting up the question and the reliability contribution. So how does the reliability contribution of, say, batteries differ from wind or solar, for instance? And then how do we address that through the accreditation piece in the proposal?
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. That's a great question. It really comes down to the nature of the resources. When you think about wind and solar, they are entirely dependent on how much the wind is blowing or how much sun is shining. And so their value to our system is how much power output are they able to produce when we need it. And as the system changes and load patterns change, they could become less valuable. Batteries, on the other hand, are much more controllable and able to output their energy when we need it. And so the value that those resources have are different, and they also have interplay between them. So as you get more solar resources or wind resources on the system, and you have excess energy at points and not enough energy at other points, batteries are ideally suited to potentially move that energy from times when we have excess to times where we have deficiency. And so under our proposal, we will measure those on a recurring basis and reflect that increase in value to those resources as the system changes.
I want to make sure that we address the process here because it was a long process and there was a lot of input from stakeholders and our governance process, open and transparent. Mike, you lived and breathed this for many months. Can you just run through for folks what the process was like and talk about the different kinds of comments and groups that participated?
Certainly, Kevin. Really taking a step back, we started the process back in the spring of 2021 and had been thinking about these issues as early as late 2019. But when we started to walk the ideas we had developed out to stakeholders, part of the benefit of the ISO's stakeholder process is really the open and candid conversations that we can all have. And we challenge each other to make whatever proposal that comes out better. And there were some twists and turns for sure. There is a lot of passion on these issues. There's too much at stake to get it wrong. And stakeholders knew that. And they pressed the ISO. We had many meetings. Several of them would last several days. And it was that rigor, that passion, that back and forth that really helped us refine what started out as a high-level idea and refine it into a full-fledged market design. And we tested many different concepts and ideas. In particular, we spent countless hours talking about how to get accreditation right and what it means, as Zach was talking about earlier, what it means to make sure we're accounting for the contribution of that wind or solar or battery correctly. At the end of the day, it was the collective that came together and pushed the ISO to really think through these issues and study them. We ended up pulling together several different consumer impact studies to make sure everyone understood what we were getting ourselves into.
So a lot of analysis, a lot of detailed work went into analyzing the different pieces of what ended up becoming the package, because it was necessary to answer a lot of these questions for the various different stakeholders. And Mike, you alluded to it before. There's a lot of passion involved in the process. And we'd give you some, you and Zach, some oxygen and some power bars and put you back into the arena. And I know it was difficult, but you know, the both of you employed and are known for a steady hand and a diplomatic approach to this. I'm sure there were days when you guys wanted to take a break and put it behind you. But if you could just talk about where that endurance and determination came from and what some of your guiding principles were for getting this done.
Yeah, Kevin, I have to just give a shout out to my wife, who probably spent many a night just wondering what the heck I was doing the day before or that day. But it's really a belief in what you're doing is in your heart the right thing to do. And when you get yourself to that part where you just believe in what it is you're working towards, you can withstand a lot. And this particular proposal, we believed in, I believed in. It's not only necessary for the reasons we talked about regarding needing to make sure the markets are open for business and ready for these clean resources to come in, but it's also important for every New Yorker out there that depends on having cold milk in the fridge or depends on electricity for heat or to cook. That's the job we're here to provide. And the markets are something that we believe very much in. And it's those markets that have really driven the excess costs out of the system such that we're all benefiting from lower cost electricity. And it's that for me that keeps me going and helps me get up in the morning and gives me a little energy to get through the day. But you got to believe in it. At the end of the day, you got to believe in it. And I did. I really believed in this proposal.
Zach, how about you? What kept you going through this process?
You know, I got to echo a lot of what Mike said. It's the belief that what we're doing is the right thing. And it's what is needed to help New York get to its climate goals and do so in a reliable way and ensure we still have a functioning market for all people to play in, to participate in, you know, not just the generation owners, but also making sure that we're sending the right signals for load and our transmission developers. So it definitely was a bit of a slog at times, but at the end of the day, it's what's right for New York and what's right for our markets.
Yeah, we sometimes forget, but you know, the people at the NYSO don't forget that the system impacts every New Yorker every day, and we provide an essential service and making sure that the markets are in a position to contribute to the climate goals, but also continue to serve those needs of New Yorkers is essential. And some people have called this proposal the most impactful change to the markets in the last 15, 20 years. I don't know if you guys think that's hyperbole, but if not, it's certainly up there. Can you guys also maybe just in closing comment about how this could, no specifics, but you know, other markets are facing the same tensions. Do we think this could provide a model or a structure for other markets to address the same kinds of tensions between public policies and the ability of markets to serve those policies?
Kevin, I think to your question, New York takes a lot of pride in leading these issues, and certainly it's no exception here. Having lived a lot of the development of the wholesale markets over the last 20 years, I would be one to echo that this is a landmark moment for the industry, for New York, specifically for New York's electricity industry.
Zach, any thoughts of your own there?
No, I'd echo a lot of what Mike says. I think the concepts that we developed and laid out certainly are transferable. There will always be implementation details and nuances to each market that would need to be resolved. But I think that the broad concepts and methodology that we've laid out could be applicable across the markets in the United States.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining us today and thank you for your dedication and the endurance that you showed through that whole process. I think the state's better for it, and certainly the NYSO will be better for your efforts. So on behalf of everybody, thank you. And a closing note that we should highlight is that in the end, and I think that you guys individually had as much of an impact on this as the proposal itself, we were able to get more than 82% of the stakeholders to vote for this. And that included support from the New York State entities, as well as New York City and municipalities, suppliers, various transmission owners. So a credit to you both that it was that much of a success in the stakeholder process. Loved having you guys on to talk about this. Look forward to having you both back on in the future. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks for having us and glad to be part of it.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. As a reminder, the New York Independent System Operator, NYISO for short, is responsible for reliably managing New York's power grid and energy markets and providing independent data to policymakers and the public. For more independent info, please visit the NYISO blog at www.nyiso.com/blog.